Like I said, today we are looking at water baptism. Can we say that together? Water baptism. So let's open your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Let's start from there. Romans chapter 6. And we're going to read, firstly, verse 1 to 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And we're looking at initially New King James Version. Romans 6, 1 to 4. Okay, so we would like to read Romans 6, 1 to 4. Okay, yes, you can. Yes, that's fine. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Please follow in your Bible. It's reading from the King James, KJV, King James Version.
Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? For therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life.
Amen. Thank you very much for that and for patiently reading it well. Amen. Now, one more place to open before I start teaching is Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 verse 19. Yes, I want another reader from this side this time. Matthew 28:19. Yes? Okay, you're ready. Go for the youth first. Matthew 28, verse 19.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's Jesus talking. Amen? And he says that his disciples, which included the apostles, should go and make disciples of all nations, and should baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, one more place before I start teaching. There may still be more. The Holy Spirit says, Mark, that's the book after Matthew, chapter 16, verse 16. Mark 16, 16. Mark 16, 16.
Mark 16, 16, I'm reading from the KJV. The NKJV, sorry. He who baptizes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Is that the one? Oh, sorry. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Is it just 16?
Sorry for that distraction. Okay, so it says that they should go, yeah? And they should do what? They should do what? Say, come on, you have the mic. Yeah. What should they do? Oh. What
should they? Be saved and baptized. He will believe, and
is baptized. Will be what?
Will be saved.
Will be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. So it goes together. And then what does he say next? He says, he who does not believe is what?
Will be condemned.
You see, your journey with God, your walk with God, starts with your faith, your believing. There is nothing you can add to God. Amen? Is all sufficient. God is what? So when God comes into your life, he has only one business, to bless you. Amen. It's not God needing you. You need God more than he needs you. So for example, like if you are told to do something for God, maybe to give to God or to come to church, it's not because you are needed. It's because God is using that as an opportunity to bless you. Every time you come to God, you are the one receiving. Whatever you gave to God is only opening a door for you to receive from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a lot to gain. Yeah? By yielding to the Lord. God is not there to steal away something from you. He's not the thief. The thief is the devil. God is there to give you life. John chapter 10 verse 10. He said the thief has come to steal and to kill and to what? To destroy. But I have come so that you can what? Have what? Life. If there's anything the thief is offering you, it's only to deceive you so he can steal more from your destiny. Are you with me? The devil, show people, may offer you something nice. But his goal, ultimate goal, is to deceive you. So as to what? Steal or kill or destroy. But God, every time God is working in your life, is restoring your soul. Hallelujah. It's repairing that which has been broken or damaged. It's cleansing you. It's altering your life and your destiny in the pathway that will lead to eternal life. Amen? So he said that he that does not believe is condemned. The condemnation is that light has come. But you love darkness rather than light. The condemnation is that eternal life has come, but you prefer to remain in darkness. But that's not where I'm going. Where I'm going is that when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when you believe that Jesus, yeah, is what? The Son of God. That God sent him. That was what I was trying to put. I didn't have enough time to preach last week. The reason, you know, Nicodemus, he asked Jesus, how can these things be? When he told you that, except a man be born again, he cannot see. So, and Nicodemus said, do you mean I should go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, no. So he said, how then can I be born again? Jesus was telling him, he said, no one has come down from heaven except one. And that's Jesus. Every other person that was born of the flesh. But Jesus was not born just of the flesh. He had no earthly father. Joseph was his adopted father, his legal, his guardian. But Joseph had no contribution to the production of Jesus. He was still engaged. Yeah? He has not touched Mary. And then Mary was with child. So the first thing Joseph said, oh, let me just put that away. He has gone to mess around. But the Holy Spirit said, don't do that, because what you have in Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit. So, strictly speaking, God is the father of Jesus. You know? Because not born of man. He came down from God. He came down from heaven. And then the other thing, that nobody ever ascended to heaven except one, Jesus. Amen? That's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm what? I'm the life. No one, somebody say no one, comes to the Father except through me. So when we say we believe, these are the things we believe. We have recognized that Jesus is the Son of God. We have recognized that Jesus is the one who came down from heaven like no other man. We have recognized that Jesus is the one who was taken back into heaven, literally speaking, like no other man. We also recognize that Jesus is the only one who went to the cross. No, before I go there. Jesus is the only one who never committed one sin. Hallelujah. Is that not beautiful? He never sinned. Bible says he was tempted. Say, someone smile as I say, you'll be tempted. It's not the cause. Amen? Every time you are being tempted, God is looking for an opportunity to boast on you. Hello? The reason why God allows temptation to come your way is that God wants to, what? He wants to boast on you. Say, that's my son. That's my daughter. I know she will not disappoint me. She's going to make me proud. And every time you overcome temptation, God is happy. He's smiling. You want to make God happy? Every time you say no to the devil, God is happy. Amen. God has emotions. We are made in his image. If you have emotions, God has emotions. Every time you choose him above temptations, he is what? He's happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the way. Say with me, say Jesus is the way. And he is the truth. And he is the life. There's no other way. Any other way, yeah, is deception. It will look nice initially, but it will let you down eventually. Amen. So when we say we believe, these are the things we believe. We believe that Jesus went to the cross, though he committed no sin, but on the cross, he took the punishment for our sins. Amen. You can never pay for all the bad things you've done. You can never pay for it. You can pay some. But you cannot pay. Because there's one thing about paying, you know, someone kills somebody. How can they pay for them? Okay, lock them up for life, but the life is still gone. Yeah. You can pay some, but that's even a human court. But in heavenly court, you can't pay. You can only receive what he paid. And he, you know what he paid? He gave his life. Now some say, oh, but people have died. He's different from Jesus. He is the Son of God with his sinless blood. He does not deserve death by any means. But I say the wages of sin is death. But he never sinned. So what the payment is made is extraordinary. Amen. The punishment for our peace, of our sins, was upon him on the cross. That's why he went. He had power to shut down everybody that was taken into the cross. He could. When came to arrest him, one of his disciples called Peter, he took a knife, a short knife, to fight and defend him. And he ended up cutting someone's hair. His name was Malchus. It's in the book of Matthew. But Jesus picked up that ear and put it back. Healed, no more blood. I'm sure that guy became a Christian. You know why I know? Because he gave us his name. I didn't know his name. Amen. It was a life-changing experience for him. Amen. And Jesus told Peter, I said, look, I can call a legion of angels. A legion, let's just say like 10,000 angels right now. And they will sort out this out. But I have to go. Because this is the Father's will. I go to the cross and die for the sins of many. Amen. It was not a tragedy. It was an achievement that changed the course of history. Amen. That's what we believe. So he who believes and what? Is saved. Will be what? And is baptized. Sorry, thank you. He who believes and is baptized. Will be what? Saved. My question is, what does it mean to be baptized? Answer. Just say what you understand. He says, he will believe. Mark 16:16. He will believe and is baptized will be saved. What does it mean to be baptized? Yes? Anybody? Yes?
For me, I understand that baptism means being dead with Christ. As for example, if you are immersed in water, as you are dying in Christ, with Christ, and when you come out, they raise you out of the water, you are being risen up with Christ. That's what I understand by baptism.
Thank you, sir. Yes, more? Don't say more. I don't mind if I would like to say more. What do you understand by baptism? What do you mean to be baptized in that context of Mark 16:16? Yeah, in the context of Mark 16:16, say he will believe and he is baptized. What does it mean to baptize? Yes. Yes.
Does it mean like putting faith into a new life?
Yes, but yes and no. Yes, because that's part of it, but no, because it's separate. It's he who believes. So believing is faith. And is baptized. Okay, let's break it down and say, what's the meaning of the word baptism? Check your Google. Baptism. Yes? What is baptism? Who's ready? Just English. What is baptism? To be baptized. What does it mean? You say, you know, someone is going to be baptized, or I'm being baptized, or baptism. Have you ever heard of the word baptism of fire? You go to something like this, this is the baptism of fire. What does that mean? Yes, who is ready? Come on. Those smartphones, that's what they're there for. What is baptism? Come on, church. Quick answer. I'm looking for this at this corner. What is baptism? The whole of the corner. I want us to go to those who have iPads and iPhones. Like this iPad, what is the value of this iPad?
Baptism it's a form of ritual purification.
Okay. That's not good enough. Any other one? More? Thank you for the effort. It's just that it's not good enough. Yes?
This one says it represents the forgiveness and cleansing from sin that comes through faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay. So forgiveness and cleansing from sin that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, more? I've not found what I'm looking for. Can you describe baptism for me like in one word or two words? Yes.
This says that it means we have turned from the old life of sin to a new life in Jesus Christ.
Certainly it means that. I agree. But I'm looking for a definition that describes what it is. So aside from faith, what is baptism? Think of one or two words.
From what I have here, it says baptism is literally and symbolically not only cleansing, but also dying and rising again with Christ.
Amen. That's the best so far. Okay. To help you, I have some words in mind. But to help you, let's go to Romans 6. And let me just read it, then I will then give you some words. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Yes, we'd like to read that. Romans 6, 4. Someone was not read today. Romans 6, 4. Come on. You've not read the Bible in church today. Romans 6, 4. Yes, Mr. Young. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, if you're ready, Romans 6, 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4.
I'm reading from the King James Version.
Okay.
Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Amen. So what are the key words? He said we are what? What are we? We are buried. What are we? Buried. So baptism involves what? Just it involves burial. We are buried with him. Then we also were raised. So baptism also involves being raised or resurrection. Amen? So baptism is a physical process we go through that demonstrates a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is when we put our faith in Jesus. Yeah? And we made him our Lord and our Savior. Now, if you have not done that, you're not born again. So we're born again. You have to repent of your sins. And you have to accept that the only way is Jesus. Is your Savior. And is your Lord. And you have to yield to him and say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I hand over my life to you. It's a commitment. It's the greatest commitment. It's greater than getting married. It's what? You know why? Do you know why it's good? Marriage is only for this life. Beyond this life, you don't need marriage. Because you get a new body. People, there's no children in the eternal kingdom. Sorry? No. There's even no children. I want to change your mentality. In the resurrected body, there's no children. And there's no old men. You all be young. Amen. It's a new body. Perfect. Unbroken. Yes.
There still be differentiation between the genders, though.
Yes, there can be male, female, but it's not for any male, female functioning. It's just that, you know, you're a female or not, your sexual body looks like, it has a resemblance to your natural body, but it's different.
Yes. Things like that. So yeah. I'm not quite
that's
sure
even that's even here. It's here. So let's go there. Galatians chapter 3. Open to Galatians chapter 3. Let me just quickly sort that. Galatians, that was not even talking about the resurrection. It's talking about now. Galatians chapter 3. Thank you for it. It's a good question. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Amazing thing that I was studying this verse regarding baptism. So is the Holy Spirit just using it to bring us there? Galatians 3. So you are reading from verse 26, and you are going to read into 27. No, let me just see. Into 28. 26 to 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to verse 28. I'll continue. Complete.
From 26.
Yes. Galatians 3, 26 to 28.
Okay. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is therefore neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen. So that's talking about now. He's talking about as many has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. As I say, when you accept Jesus into your life, spiritually you are baptized into Christ. To be baptized is to be immersed. Yeah? You told me that. Give me one word for you're welcome. Give me one word for baptism. Is what? To be what? Immersed. You know, like when you go into a tough time, say this is like a baptism of fire. It's like you are. Amen. There's nothing like in spirituality, being half big is no big. Being half big was no big. You hear that, fool? Oh no, that's what Jesus was telling them. He said, because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I said, I would that you are rather hot or cold. No half big. The reason that actually he wants it to be hot. But if you are cold, everybody knows you are cold. They will start praying for you. But when you are lukewarm, you are deceiving yourself and you are deceiving others. It's more difficult to help a lukewarm person than a cold person. He still knows they're a sinner. But a lukewarm person, they're in church. Yeah? But their heart is not there. They cause more problems for the pastor. And for themselves. Because they are deceiving themselves. Amen? So, spiritually, when you receive Christ and you're making your Lord, you are putting him on. Say, I have put on Christ. Hallelujah. Let me take you. I'm coming back to Geo-Greek. Actually, let me finish. So, what he's saying that when you are put on Christ, there's no discrimination. In Christ, there should be no racial discrimination. There should be no gender discrimination. Now, let me explain that. That doesn't mean you are not still male and female. God made you female for a purpose. Say, I'm blessed to be female. Amen. It's beautiful. And if you are male, say, I'm blessed to be male. Say it with your deep voice. Say, I'm blessed to be male. Amen. There's no. You see, in God's eye, there's no gender war. The gender to complement each other to make it a beautiful world. But if everybody will stay in their place, if you're male, give the best male you can be, and be a blessing to all the females around you. If you're female, be the best female you can be. And be a blessing. Be a female that the males will commend you and say, you're a great woman. Amen. That's what you want to be. Not competing, but complimenting.
To be female is special. And to be male is what? It's special. But in Christ, we are joint heirs. We are joint what? The male has access to God in Christ. And the female has access to God in Christ. But in the physical, we function differently. I don't need to be thinking of getting pregnant. It's not my calling. Yes. I thought, okay. So it's now. There's neither male or female. There's not Jew or what? Or Greek. You were a Jew before you came to Christ. No problem. We recognize you. We know that the Old Testament came through you. The Torah came through you. And that's good. But in Christ, there's no Jew or what? Okay, we are all children of God. That doesn't mean you should stop being, that doesn't mean you should disclaim the fact that you're a Jew. You should remain a Jew. That's your identity. But you're not just a Jew, you're a Christian. Amen. You're not just a Greek, you're what? You're a Christian. Whether you're old or young, there's no ageism. We are one. We have equal access to God. Hallelujah. But that doesn't mean that those identities are useless. There's a reason. There's a beauty of being old. There's a beauty of being young. Don't say, okay, because there's no age in Christ. Daddy, don't tell me anything now. We are equal in Christ. No, sir. In the flesh, you are not equal. When you go to your office tomorrow, respect your boss. It's your boss for a reason. Or she. Yeah? But in terms of spiritually, our access to God is equal. And the blessing of God for our lives, we can access it equally if we are faithful. The only thing that makes a difference in the blessings is your faithfulness. Amen? If God finds a woman who is faithful and a man who is unfaithful, he will use the woman. He can use the woman to rule all the men because he's faithful. It's your faithfulness. That's why there was a time in Israel God could not find a faithful man. Then he raised up Deborah to judge the nation. But if you find faithful men, we raise them actually more because the man was made before the woman. That's the truth. You can't change it. Don't fight it. Amen? There's a purpose. There's a reason why God made Adam first, then took the woman out of. There's order. You don't need to fight it. Just love it and cooperate, and everything will work. But if you are fighting divine order, you will reap the consequences. There's no point to do it. Amen? That's what's happening also in the West, where the West is fighting divine order and trying to bring in their own way. Then the consequences are, you can't break a law and there will be no consequence. If you are breaking a law, there's no consequence. It's brewing up. It's brewing. It's maturing. Amen. So are you happy, my sister? Good. Now let's go back to baptism. So in baptism, there's burial and there is what? Resurrection. And I was saying that to be baptized means to be immersed. Say immersed. Yes. Amen. So Jesus said, when you preach and people believe, you should baptize them. You should immerse them. Yeah? What do you immerse them in? Let me ask my beautiful young girl. What do you immerse people in to say they are baptized?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. And what else?
Water.
In water. So today we are looking at water baptism. It is the simplest of them all. Water baptism is simple. So, water baptism is that when you have believed in Christ, when you have wholeheartedly given yourself to Christ, that means that from that moment you believe, you put him on. You know what it means when you put on something? It becomes your identity. Amen? Say, Christ is my identity in this world. It's a marriage that is more important than the physical marriage. You take his name. You take everything he did is exchanged for you. And all your mess is exchanged back to him to dispose. He's the one who will sort it for you. If you came to Christ with a lot of mess, yeah? He will sort it.
Some of these things you can't sort it yourself. He will sort it. And all his goodness and all his blessing and transformation, his righteousness, his holiness, is bringing it on you. Put him on. Amen. Say, I put on Christ because I believe. Amen. Now, that happens spiritually. But because you're in the flesh, you need something physical to help you connect to the spiritual. Say with me, say, I need something physical to help me connect to the spiritual. There are some Christians that they feel that they don't need to come to church. I'm talking broadly. I'm not talking about anybody specific. You see, I can watch what? Or listen to Premier Radio. They will get something. I'm not saying they won't. But they cannot get the full deal. Because when you're in church physically, not online. You know, online. You see, when you cannot meet physically, you should take advantage of the online. Because half a loaf bread is what? It's better than none. But when you cannot meet physically, don't continue on half a loaf bread. Go for the full deal. So when you meet physically, yeah, you can make a stronger connection with what's happening spiritually. So also, your faith in Christ, which you have believed, now there is something physical you do that helps you to connect it. You make it total, get the full benefit. So I say full benefit. What do you like? Half benefit or full? I know you. You're full. Amen. And it's a good thing. Amen. So in water baptism, we are dipped into water. Well, now, before we go to that, what does water represent? Come on, so help me. Water. What do you like about water? Water? What do you like about many answers? What do you like about water?
Cleanses,
yes. What else? There must be something else. Think about drinking or any form of water.
It suits.
It suits you, yeah? Counts you, yeah? Like, some people like to go for a swim. Yes? Did I see you? It can be refreshing. Yes, more? Anything more? Water? I saw a use of water yesterday. I went to auntie's allotment. Yeah? So what were you doing with water yesterday? You know, when I went to visit auntie in allotment yesterday, I've been there before, but many years now. Some years have passed. You know, I just find that there are some things that can just bless you, just being simple. We're under the cool weather. I looked outside, it was blue, cloudy. I looked at the plants, they were growing. I poured water. You know, it was a strong refreshing just to be there. And I didn't pay anything. Instead, I took some things home. Hallelujah. And I was able to wear the plant for the first time in my life. I harvested potatoes. Amen. Some things you are dying for. Yeah? Going it the way of the world. They are available free if you're going to do it God's way. You'll be dying for it. Suffering for it. But God already provided it. You're just deceived. Say, I refuse to walk in deception. See, when you're in deception, yeah? You'll be paying a lot for rubbish. And you'll be happy. So I got it. It's rubbish. It's what? Little. Zero. Little. It's like someone sold, you know. Like, did I find it? Let me see if I can still find it. Okay, it's not there. When we came in here today, we saw some things like look like jewels, like gems. But you know, it's this, all these kids' things. So my son brought one to me, like, oh, daddy, look. You know, like, how much is it worth? like, don't bank on it. It's worth nothing. You know, imagine you guarding that all around and happy, I have this. But it's worth nothing. That's how the deception of Satan can be like. So you put on Christ. So when you go, water, yeah, it's one of the best things that ever happened to the world. You know, there was there, I was just, when you're thirsty, I was drinking water. I was like, I just said, water is the best drink. My wife was like, what do you mean? You mean it's better than orange juice that you cleared, you know, from my fridge? But it is. Water. So that's the symbolism of water. And I agree with you that the number one symbolism of water is that it cleanses. And of course, because it cleanses, it also refreshes. Amen? So, physically, now you are in faith in Christ. But when you are baptized in the water, you are immersed into water. Why? Because for you, the reason why we say Jesus is Lord and why we believe in Him is because not only did He come back from heaven as the Son of God, He lived with our sin. He lived in total dominion over the Satan. He conquered darkness in His lifetime. And still, like a lamb being led to the slaughter, innocent lamb, He went to the cross. So what did He do on the cross? He died. Say He died. See, you see, one of the ways you conquer death as a Christian is to understand that Jesus died. Amen? Jesus what? Died. You see, when you go deep spiritually, you will no longer be afraid of death because He died. Amen? He died. That's the greatest death of all time. He died. The righteous one died for the ungodly. Please open your Bible to Romans 3. Let me see what I'm doing with them. Romans chapter 3. Let me just quickly go there. Romans chapter 3. So what I'm looking for saying that a good man may die, someone may die for his friends, but God commends His love towards us that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Yes? Anybody find you before me? Romans chapter 3. Is that where we're looking from? Yes, did you find it? He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ. Thank you. Romans chapter 5. Thank you very much. Romans 5, from verse 6 to verse 8. Yes, someone was not read today. Romans 5, verse 6 to verse 8. It's following your Bible, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to verse 8. What version are you using, sir?
NKJV.
NKJV, yeah.
For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will only die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
He said, even there's a good man, yeah, and someone had to die for them, scarcely. So this man is a good man. But he's lost all his kidneys, lost all his liver, everything is fried. Who is going to give their life to provide it? It's not easy. I mean, maybe it may be easy to donate a kidney. What about a liver? There's only one. If you're going to donate it, you're going to die. But the man is a good man. Yeah? Not talk about if he's a bad man, like he's a criminal. Syria. Will you find someone who will give up their liver to donate to the liver of a criminal? But the Bible says that this is how God demonstrates His love towards us. That even when we were what? Sinners. You know what that means? Undeserving. Condemned. By our own acts. Christ, the righteous one, died for us. Hallelujah. There's nothing more beautiful than that. All the gold in this world and the silver, yeah, is not as beautiful as what Jesus did. Amen? So He died. That's the point I'm making. So our salvation is based first and foremost on His death. If He didn't die, we don't get the life of God. At best, we remain sinners who are trying our best to be good. So his death bought us eternal life. Say, the death of Jesus purchased for me eternal life. I could never be a son of God in my own goodness. I could never. There's nothing I could do. He said, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Only the death of Jesus. Amen? So in baptism, when we go into water and we go under, yeah, it's representing the death of Jesus. Like he died physically. When we go underwater, we are connecting to his death. Of course, we don't stay underwater for too long. Amen? But when you go underwater, you are connecting. What are you connecting to? The death. Say the death. The death of Jesus. Yeah? Brought us life. Amen? So when we go underwater, he said we are buried with him. It's by faith. You see, it's by faith. Just like we take Holy Communion. When we eat Holy Communion, we're eating bread, isn't it? And juice. But we are connecting by faith and saying, with this we connect to the body of Jesus that was broken and the blood of Jesus that was shed. The same thing in baptism. When we go underwater, we are connecting with the death of Jesus. And say, like Jesus died, even so today I am dying to sin. Why did he die? He died because of sin. So when I go underwater, I am connecting with the death and saying, I myself, the old me, yeah, is going under water. Amen. Now, when you are lifted up from the water, you are connecting with the resurrection of Jesus. Now, let me tell you, if Jesus died, if all that Jesus did was to die on the cross, and he never rose again, yeah, we're in trouble. Amen. Because you don't just want to die, you want to live. Hello? Which one do you prefer? Living or dying? Let me transfer it. You want to live. Amen? You want to what? Live. There are two things you want to do. Please open your Bible to Romans 6. Let me just teach that clearly so you understand. Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Oh, let's start from 3. Romans chapter 6, sorry. Verse 3 and 4. Someone else who has not read? Romans 6, 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4.
Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not, I'm reading from King James Version, sorry. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life.
Amen. I like that. I like that. I was looking for something more that strengthens your statement. He says something like, when Christ died, I think it's Romans 6, he died to sin once. For time, I will move on. I will explain to you. When Christ died, he died because of our sins. So when we share in that, we share in it by faith. You see, he paid. When I believe, I'm sharing, I'm downloading the benefit of what he done for me. Amen? So he died to sin, or he died because of our sins. So when I'm dying, it happens two steps. You already die spiritually when you believe. Amen? But physically, you're going underwater to represent what has happened spiritually. It's not the day you went underwater that you died with him. It was the day you believed. But when you go underwater, you're connecting powerfully to what you have believed. What am I dying to? I'm dying to sin. Yeah? I'm dying to what? To sin. That verse 14, Romans 6, 14 says, therefore sin shall not have dominion over you. Because you're not under law, but under grace. What it means is that when you're in Christ, you have received grace to live above sin. You can't do it in your power, but by his grace, you can. By what? By his grace. Amen? But that was not the end. If you just died to sin only, it's half the journey. You've not started. The reason why you died to sin was to live for righteousness. Hello? It's not just about dying to sin. It's about living for righteousness. That's the newness of life you have, because Christ lived a righteous life. So when I'm raised from the water, I'm raised, I'm connecting to grace. See, I'm connecting to grace to live righteously. Amen. What's the purpose of grace? It will help you to live righteously. Grace is not there for you to continue in sin. Because that was first told us, Romans 6:1. He said, shall we continue in sin so that God can give more grace? Yeah, it's like someone being given money. Yeah, for lunch. Let's assume they were an alcohol addict. I'm just giving an example. Yeah. And they spent all their money on alcohol. I'm just giving an example. And then it's money run out. But someone give them money and say, look, you have not eaten today or yesterday. Go and get some food. That's grace. They didn't deserve it. That's grace. They now take the money, and what they do? They squander it again. Oh. That's what he says. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The reason why grace has come into your life is so that you can live righteously. Say, the reason I have received grace is so that I can live the righteous life of Christ. Amen. And it's possible. It's not by your power. It's by his power working in you. Say, I have received grace. I can live righteously. Righteousness is not just about a right standing with God. That's where it starts. But the reason why you need a right standing with God at all in the first place is so that you can produce the works of God. If I'm in the right standing with God, then I start living and doing the things God does. Because we are best of pals. Make sense? There's no point in boasting about your right standing with God if it produces no righteous works. It was a waste. Hallelujah. Say, I've received grace. So when we go underwater, we are connecting with the death of Jesus. Why do we need to connect with it? Because through that, spiritually, we are saying, I'm dead to sin. The old me is gone. There are some people that even when they are baptized, they take new names. You don't have to. You're just really trying to emphasize that. You know, let's find. Let's assume that before they were born again, before they became a Christian, they had a terrifying name. Let's give any examples. Where's my mic? Imagine the terrifying name that when you hear the name, like, oh, that is a terror. Just the name. Any name come to anybody's mind? Like a nickname. You know, like in gangs, in criminality, or in life of sin, they can give people nicknames that represent their sinfulness. Any examples? Come on. I think. Be imaginative. Be creative. Any example of nicknames that someone can get because they are a chief sinner. Sorry. Jezebel. By the way, you know the name of Jezebel? He's the person that calls out to Baal. Yes? Baddest. That's the nickname. You know, like the one in court. Yeah? Anyone? Any more? Come on. There are many.
Some people, that, you know, there are people here in this world, in UK, everywhere in the world, even where I grew up, that they are known by their nickname. Tell me some of those nicknames. Even maybe you also had a nickname when you were unbeliever. Do you remember anybody? Come on, help me. Come on, any nicknames that come to mind? Think of your primary, secondary school, or wherever that. Think of any people in your school that were notorious. What was their nickname?
I'm talking of mine. Mine was Milkish.
Milkish? Okay. Do you know why they gave you Milkish? Yeah, come on. You don't have to talk about yourself. Think about in your school, university, people were notorious and they had nicknames. And when you hear that nickname, you know that trouble is on the way. Yes? Slow poison. That's his name. You see? Slow poison is coming. Any other one? Sister, do you, anything come to mind? Think about when you were playing football, you know. What were the nicknames of some of your teammates? Okay. Any other one? Come on, one more. Sorry? What?
No pity.
No pity. And you know the funny thing? When people assume nicknames, after a while, everybody starts, that's what they call them. No pity is on the way. Okay.
My friend who lived in a student house in Bournemouth, there was a guy who had two nicknames that always got used at the same time, and his name was Harry the Knife, Harry the Spider.
See? Harry the Spider. Now, Harry the Spider comes to Jesus. He comes to faith. Yeah? He has said Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Spiritually, he has put on Christ. Yeah? And now, he's being baptized in water and immersed in water. What we are saying is that what goes into that water was Harry the Spider. And Harry the Spider is dying in that water. And what comes out of the water? What comes out of the water? Someone give me a new name for Ari the Spider. A new name for Ari the Spider. Come on.
Ari the Praiser.
Ari the Prince. Hallelujah. He may even not like Ari again because Ari has been joined to the Spider. He may just come and say, call me James. Amen. That's what happens. So, when we rise, we are connecting that the new man has come. The old man has passed. The new man has come. Let's do 2 Corinthians. Let me say I'm doing with time. I'd like to finish at 12:30. 2 minutes. Thank you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's the place I'll finish on today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Yes, 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Yes, let's have two versions. One from Kevin, one from Andrew. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. If you tell us your version, then I'll give Andrew the next one. So what are you going for?
New King James.
So Kevin does New King James. Andrew, you can do New Living Translation, NLT. Or actually, maybe do Amplified. Let's see what it says. Yeah, go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
If anyone is in Christ. That is, they have come to faith. They have accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. Is it, no one can make that decision for you. It's personal. They are what? A new creation. Not in their body, but in their spirit. Yes, continue.
Old things have passed away.
The old things. Have what?
I passed away.
All the jargon, all the mess, all the baggage and garbage in Christ, they've passed away because of the precious blood of Jesus, who is able to cleanse our spirit from dead works, from unrighteousness, and bring us into new life, the life of God. And what happens when the old things are passed away?
Behold, all things.
Behold. All things are what?
Become new.
That happens in your spirit. Now, and of course, you have to work it out in your soul and in your body. But it happens first and foremost in your spirit. There's still a working out to do. Yes, let's another version. Then we tidy it up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We have it from Amplified now.
Therefore, if any person is engrafted,
in Christ the Messiah. He is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come.
Amen. So when you're in Christ, you're a new creation. See, I'm in Christ, therefore, I'm a new creation. Like I said, that happens in your spirit. If your mind was full of garbage, it will still be full of garbage. You have to wash it with the word. This is the cleanser of your soul, your mind, your emotions. The word of God cleanses it for you. And that's a lifetime job. Because as so long you will wear clothes, they will get dirty. To keep clean, to dress clean in this world, you must keep washing. Say, to dress clean, you must keep what? The alternative is to be buying new clothes every day. The word of God washes your soul. And it's a lifelong thing. But the blood of Jesus is the one that washes your spirit. And you're a new creation. The old has passed away. When someone comes and says, oh, remember how we used to do that? That was the old me. That person has died. The new me has come. That's why maybe they will now call you. Some of your new nickname may become evangelist. You know? Yeah, because God, you say new you, you are a different person. And as you grow spiritually, you become more and more like Christ. What I would like to say is that we're going to have some water baptism sessions in our church. Starting from now. There should be one going on next week. But I think that's already booked. Because I just want to speak that I don't want to do so many in so short a time. So a set of 10 to 12 at a time. If you're interested in being water baptized, please let me know after the service. Take notes. I'm not going to assume that everybody in church wants to be baptized. And I'm not going to assume that everybody in church is born again. If you want to be water baptized into Christ as a physical connection to what's happening in your life spiritually, please let me know after the service and I'll put you in my notes. And it's a matter of just fixing you for the right date. Okay? Let's rise up and pray. Talk to God today. Let's start by talking to Jesus. Just appreciate Jesus, the lover of your soul, the savior of your life. Thank him. I say, Jesus, thank you for coming down from heaven.